two powerful verses. John 13:7, I love this verse. John 13:7, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. And then Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. In John 13, Jesus had just, as King of Kings, the miracle worker, the one who walked on water, the one who fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish, the one who touched blind eyes, the one who had healed Lazarus from the dead, raised Lazarus from the dead. He takes off his outer robe like a servant boy, hangs it up, and goes around and gets down on his hands and knees and begins to wash his disciples' dirty feet. Made no sense. Peter pulls his feet back under the table and says, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you'll have no part with me. And then he says in John 13:7, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Oh, the older I get, the more I experience the walk with God. Going on 43, nearing 44 years of walking with God. I realize the power of this verse. Christian, young Christian, hang on when things don't look right. Hang on when things look unfair. Hang on to Jesus when things don't make sense. Hang on to Jesus even when the devil tells you what's happening doesn't match what this says. For you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. This is not my topic, the next thing I'm going to say, but I feel it was brought to me by the Holy Spirit. Some of us need to mentor and encourage during the tribulation hour. I believe we're going to go through part of the tribulation before the rapture of the church. I don't know when that is, but if we're interpreting the Gospels right, that this generation will not pass till all be fulfilled. We have to be near the tribulation hour. I believe that many of us core believers are going to be called to be encouragers during the tribulation hour. To be prepared for that, you have to go through the deepest of suffering and anguish, and that's often within your own family. There is a price tag on maturity. There is a price tag on stability. Salvation is absolutely free. Discipleship is costly. And there is a price tag on those things. We cannot weather other people through with the aid of the Holy Spirit. In the darkest of times, in the opening of the sixth seal, in the opening of the fifth seal, the martyrs at the altar crying, how long, O Lord, we read in Revelation. Somebody has to be able to encourage. It's going to have to be somebody, I don't say this in a swearing sense, it has to be somebody that's been to hell and back. It has to be somebody that's been through anguish. I think that the broken people that our ministry wants, I believe that the broken people are the making of martyrs. They've already almost died over and over for the wrong reasons. And they're going to be ready to die for the right reasons. I don't know the timeline of all that, what we face. But I do know that you do not realize now what I am doing, Jesus said, but later you will understand. I'm tempted, but I won't, to call out some of your names. Some of you who are going through incredible, difficult times that you don't understand. but you will later. And when the apostles were establishing the church and Jesus had risen from the dead on Easter Sunday and he had ascended back to the Father, and they were being used mightily to plant the church and to spread the gospel, and they were called upon to suffer, and they were called upon to serve. Do you think that when the disciples were in the dungeon and in the dark hour that they remembered Jesus laying aside his robe and washing their feet and commissioning them? What you're doing now, you don't understand. What's happening now, you don't understand. What you're going through now, you don't understand, but you will later. And then Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now I'm going to lighten up a little bit. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I talked to you about a young woman, and I said her name all through the message, and I wish I wouldn't have, because then we couldn't put it on the internet. And there are people who follow the messages, and we get feedback, and we have no desire to make a name for ourselves or any of those things, or that we have to be on the airwaves, or I'm not much interested in that, to be totally honest. I don't mean that sarcastically. I think there's a place for that, but I just... But we have a number of folks. We have a state policeman who's not part of our church, who often pulls off to the side of the road and watches traffic and listens to messages on the internet. And so we want to be faithful in that. But I used this girl's name all through the message, and there really wasn't any easy way to bleep that out. So today I'm going to call her Tish, okay? My son has a young woman on his ball team that we have been drawn to. And like I said, I'm going to lighten up a little bit, but I'm going to come back to this. You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. And we have felt drawn to her. And I often say, Lord, while sitting in the bleachers at the ball game, I often say, Lord, who would you have me minister to? I want to be about the Father's business. Do that. Can I encourage you to do that? Don't compartmentalize your Christianity. Well, Sunday's my God time. Jesus wants to affect every area of your life. And when we go and Tom has a new team, I'm always kind of intrigued because I'm the unnamed chaplain. They don't have a chaplain, but I volunteered on my own. And so I'm always looking the team over thinking, who doesn't have a father? Who looks lonely in their eyes like they need somebody to talk to? Or who looks like they're discouraged easily? And I watch in the game and I can tell who melts down if they make one mistake. Instead of that positive sports go get them attitude, they melt down if they make one mistake. And I saw that in this girl. And I suspected that there wasn't a father in her life. And so I began praying for her. And then I found more information and Tom shared with me some things that he could share. And I realized there wasn't a father in her life. But did meet her mother. And Tish was a little difficult because she seemed to make a difference. I noticed when she would be, I always sit right there by the front, and Tom's over here coaching, and I'm on this side, and he always says, you know, they switch halves after the halftime, and they're right by him, and he's a big defense coach. He loves defense, and I do too. And I love to see different defensive formations. And so he's always encouraging him, and he's a preacher on the sidelines. He'd never admit that. But he raves and waves his arms and carries on. He says, Dad, second half, they're on the other end, and I can't get to them. If you can make up for it. And I said, I will. So I'm always saying, come on, come on, defense, defense, come on, come on. And then I have one line that I've used ever since high school when I want them to steal the ball. I'll keep the mic away a little bit, but I have one line I've always used even when my boys play ball. Sometimes they'll steal the ball too. It just gives them a burst of adrenaline. I'll go, get them, get them, get them, get them, get them, get them, get them. Or sometimes on that third get them, they'll just take the ball. And I think it distracts the refs because they're like, what is that? And then I always laugh afterwards. Especially if they get them and take the ball. So Tish was on the side, would be there on defense, and on the second half, I was always yelling for her. I noticed that her play picked up when we would begin cheering for her. And you wouldn't believe Grandma over here. She's this quiet, peaceful person on the platform. You should see her at a ball game sometimes when her kids are playing or coaching. Sometimes she outshouts me. She's not ahead of me on get him. I can do that the loudest. The point I'm making is this girl never made eye contact with me. Never made eye contact with me. I told you that in the former message. I'd see her in the hallway and wait in the locker room to talk to Tom after the game. And she, excellent ball player. He recruited her from a school here in Indiana. And she would, some games she'll have 22 points a game. She plays excellent defense. And I would often say, Tish, you're a great foundational player. And she, I'm here. She's looked the floor, straight to the floor. I'd say you're a great foundational player. Don't get discouraged. I can tell sometimes if you make one mistake. Tom would often do tip off. The tall center would slap the ball to Miranda. Miranda would go for the basket like she's going to shoot, pass off to Tish, and they'd get their first shot and start with a layup. If she missed that layup, which can happen occasionally, you'd just see the air go out of her tires. And Tom said she'd be useless the rest of the game. She just, you could see she hadn't been raised with self-esteem. She needed lots of encouragement. So I was the cheerleader, and after the game, I'd always encourage her, and I'd say, Tish, you're a great foundational player. You're playing great defense. Don't get down on yourself. Come on, come on. And I could tell it meant something to her, but she would never make eye contact with me. And I told you a few weeks ago, but there's a few visitors today. We had a time when they did the starting lineups, and she ran all the way across the gym when they called her out. I won't act it out like I did the other time, but she ran all the way across the gym. She had yet to make eye contact with me, and she handed me this ball. And it said, thank you for your support, Tish. So I knew we were getting somewhere. Now I'm going somewhere with this. I didn't just run out of things to say, so I'm repeating things. So I began to pray more because actually, prior to her giving me that ball, I was just about ready to give up. I thought, this girl's annoyed by me, I think. I think she's annoyed by me. Who's this grandpa-aged guy that keeps waiting to talk to me? And I wondered, and I was careful. I want to say that. Listening men, I want to be an honorable older man. I was careful. She's 19. You know that the estimates are, I hate to say this, but I didn't come up with these statistics. The estimates are that 60 to 70% of adult men are in some form of pornography. It's no wonder young girls don't trust older men. We want to be trustworthy. We want to be trustworthy. But I was a little cautious because since she would never make eye contact with me, and of course I suspected of some abuse possibly, I've done a lot of counseling over the years, and I thought I kind of figured this out, I think. There's definitely no father in her life, not sure what all transpired and all of that. But I almost, and the Lord knew, I almost was going to back off. I thought, I don't want this to be misunderstood. I'm old enough to be her grandpa, but I don't want that to be misunderstood. But then she gave me the ball and ran all the way across the gym and handed me the ball. And I thought, okay, God's telling me, green light, green light. Okay, so this is cool. Stay with me. So come time, Tom's team gets in the playoffs. That's why we took vacation 5 days. I didn't want to be gone on a Sunday, but we took 5 days vacation because I had some vacation even left from last year that I hadn't taken. And Tom's team got in the playoffs. And most of these girls come from difficult homes, not all, but most of them. And so were they pumped. And Pam and I were pretty excited. So we go to Michigan week before last, and we stay at an inexpensive place and kind of a time get away, think about the books that God's laying on my heart and various things, and good to get away and reflect, and we go, and we play Mid-Michigan. And Mid-Michigan's tough. To be honest, deep in our heart, I questioned if we could beat them. Pretty good record, pretty confident players, a little bit different type of girls. Really, really a good team. Oh, man, did we spank them. Oh, it was wonderful. I don't know what it feels like to walk down the streets of gold, but that win was awesome and shouldn't even make such a comparison. But we were so happy. It's about more than basketball. Life's about more than that stuff. Don't compartmentalize your Christianity and make Sunday your God day. You will enjoy the game more if God's in it. Make him part of it. Steve Browning is such a great grandpa. He is a grandpa, not a great grandpa, but yeah, he is a very great grandpa. And I often tell Steve, he's grandpa to two of the same kids that I am. Steve coaches at the Y, and I always tell him, I appreciate your contribution to the community and what you're doing. It's awesome. It's awesome to see that. And I want to be about the kingdom. I want to be about seeing into kids' eyes that maybe don't have a dad that even need instruction. And I've seen Steve stop a game at the Y, and while the parents were all looking on, what's he doing? And he would show somebody what they did wrong, you know, rather than just we got to win, you know. But I want to include God in those things. So anyway, we go to Mid-Michigan, and Mid-Michigan's supposed to beat us. And, you know, I'm always optimistic, you know, and we're pretty pumped, and we go to the game. Tish could not miss. Second half, and I've never seen her show emotion. And that girl ran down. We beat them by 34 points. It was the talk of the conference. This team was supposed to beat us. We didn't just beat them. We beat them by 34 points. Tish ran down the third. She couldn't miss. And she's not a show-off player. She'd rather hand off. Tom's constantly saying to her, shoot the ball. Don't pass it. Most people got to tell them to pass. She's uneasy. She's insecure. That girl came up, pulled up a 20-foot jumper, went straight in the air, and it just nothing but net. And when it went through, we both hollered. She went, woo, like that. And I think she realized, oh, shoot, I'm not supposed to do that. But I thought, there's a person in there. There's a person down in there. I'm going somewhere with this. So Friday night, we get in the semifinals. And I call home. I'm extending my vacation. You get to do that when you have a lot of seniority. And so Friday night, we're playing Kalamazoo. Kalamazoo is not only number one in the conference, but they're ranked sixth in the nation in this division. Oh, if we could upset them. Oh, would that be sweet? Would that be sweet? And my son, would that be so encouraging to him? Oh, man, wouldn't that be great? So we're cautiously sitting around in the motel with nothing to do, and we're waiting on games, and we're talking about, boy, wouldn't it be awesome if we'd upset Kalamazoo? Wouldn't that just be something else on Friday night? So Friday night comes. I'm going somewhere with this. Friday night comes, and we play the team that's sixth in the nation. And we were wanting that big win. At halftime, it was 44-13. 44-13. They could not, our team couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Our tallest girl, who's pretty good inside, missed the first three layups. These girls were so nervous. But here again, stay with me. I'm the only guy that cries at ball games. Are you getting it? These girls, this is bigger than basketball. This is about eager to please. I finally have some fans. I've never had a fan in my life. I finally have some fans, and I'm letting them down. In the third quarter, Tom pulled Tish to rest her, and Pam and I looked over, and I said to Pam, look, she was sitting on the bench sobbing and crying, and I realized this wasn't about basketball. It's about approval. And somebody clapping for me, and they trusted me to come here, and we even thought we might have a chance of beating them, and look at the scoreboard. I thought Tom, with the inferior feelings and insecurities he had to work with, did an awesome job of coaching that game. In the third quarter, he got him within 10. He switched the defense. He talked to him. Man, did he ever preach a sermon on the sidelines? My ears are still ringing. But the girls responded. And he got back within 10. But then we got beat by 20. Okay. Real life here. So after the game, you talk about a whipped bunch of puppies. We're looking at each other with this. I'm sure there was no color in either of our faces. We're looking at each other like, mercy, did we get whipped? The girls can't even slap hands with the other team. They're trying to be good sports, but they're crying so hard. And I realized that this bunch of girls, this is bigger than a ball game. This is about approval. It's about somebody's for us. And I even thought on the one-on-one thing, I thought Tish has really appreciated. She's real timid. To come all the way across the gym in front of everybody and hand me that ball, she put that right. I thought it was for the person behind me. I looked like this, and she said, no. She handed it to me. for her to do that was huge. And she wanted to come through. She wanted to come through that night. And they were crying and sobbing, and Tom spent a long time. It's the last game of the season, because when you get beat, you're done. And my goodness, they were in the locker room for an hour. I'm going somewhere with this. They were in the locker room for an hour, and then one by one, they begin coming out. Well, we stood there at the hall. They come down the long hall. And I don't know if they're glad to see us or not, but they're going to see us whether they're glad or not, because we're going to hug them all. Because we've been praying for them, and we bought into these girls, and so we hugged them as they all came out. And every one of them just hugged us and embraced us. I'm waiting. Where's Tish? Where's Tish? Pretty soon, here she comes. And she just kind of looked up at me and then looked back down. Broken, upset, disappointed, she walks up. I hugged her. Tommy said a couple things to her. She turned, walked down the hall, and I walked beside her. And I looked up, and I'd asked God for a moment. Give me a moment. And I looked up, and there was no one at the end of the hall. The people had moved over, and only Tom and Pam were over here. It didn't matter that they were there. And I said, could I talk to you a minute? She said, yeah. And she turned, looking down. And I said, Tish, I know you don't know me very well. And I was pretty emotional. And you probably have wondered through the year, this coach's father is a stranger to me. Why is he interested in talking to me? And I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to tell you something. And I mean it with all my heart. I don't know a lot about your family, but I've been watching, and I don't think you have a father around. Still looking straight at the floor. I said, could I ask something? If you would ever in the future need a father to talk to and some guidance, could I do that? She looked up, looked me straight in the eye, and said, what's your phone number? Tears run down her face. She looked up, looked me straight in the eye, and said, what is your phone number? What I do now, you don't understand. They had to lose that game, and they had to lose it bad to bring her heart to a place that she would receive, because she has so many layers. Does that make sense? This is where we're missing it in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're having our services and we're complimenting each other and cheering each other on. And we got a whole world out here, even our local ball team, that doesn't have a father. And they got layer after layer after layer. And it takes a whole season. You know, they played 30 games. With the playoffs, they played 32 games. It took 32 games, and we didn't go to all the away games, but it took 32 games of praying for her to look me straight in the eye and say, what's your phone number? And she took down my number. Pray for her. I'm praying she'll respond and call. There's some reason why the Lord laid her on our heart. It was a step of faith on my part. I'm going somewhere with this. It was a step of faith on my part for me to offer to be somewhat of a father figure, a second father figure to this girl who has little connection. That could go all kinds of directions of her thinking, get out of here, it's none of your business. You got to take a chance when there's lots of layers. Are you with me? I don't want to miss those opportunities. You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. If we'd have won that game, we'd still be jumping up and down. I would have called and missed 20 Sundays and took all my vacations. I'd have gone to Kansas City to watch them. They needed to lose that night, and they needed to lose horribly to prepare the ground. Because in brokenness, she came out with what her real need was. Now, we got to pray that God will walk her in that. Nah, it'll be a while before I hear from her. I know it will be. She rethought that and thought, whoa, I don't know this guy very well. But God will bring circumstances in her life and then bring my name back to her mind. And there'll be a day I'm going to get a text. and it's going to say, this is Tish. Is that offer still good about talking? And we'll meet with her here. Pam will come. We'll do it appropriately, and we'll meet. And I think sometime her mother and her will come to church here. We'll just see. But I'd be so proud if they did. I have no idea where I was or what I'm talking about. Or, let's see. What have I got here? Oh, picture. Ain't that cool? We got that after the talk. Now, that's not going on the internet, but we got that in that special. But this is somebody who wouldn't make eye contact with me, started with being handed, the door cracked open that night. I was handed the ball, no eye contact. Just stuck the ball at me, turned away, and it said, thanks for your support, Tish. We lost the game, but God was answering the bigger prayer. Can you get your fingernails into that? We lost the game, but God was answering the bigger prayer. I know you so well, or I wouldn't do this. Kathy, what could be harder than what you observed at the Rochester Hospital the day the Lord took your precious husband to heaven? But God spoke to me, and I shared it with you, and we're in harmony on it. There were some things that had to happen that day to answer your larger prayer. You had prayed for years that he would come to a place of brokenness, and he was a strong-willed booger. Man, he was a strong-willed booger. Oh, I love him to pieces, but man, that guy would not give in. But what seemed to be, how could this be happening? What you do now, what I'm doing now, you don't understand. But you will later. Life here on earth's a drop in the bucket. You know how long eternity is? The best example I've ever heard in my life is that if a sparrow picked up a grain of sand in North America and flew all the way across the Atlantic Ocean and dropped that grain of sand in Europe, and then that same sparrow flew all the way back across the Atlantic Ocean and picked up another grain of sand, and then flew all the way across the Atlantic Ocean and dropped that grain of sand in Europe, when all of North America was in Europe, eternity would have just started. 70 years, 80 years in much compared to that. Sometimes God has to allow some drastic things that we don't understand. Vince, would you be here if you hadn't been in prison? No. Would you be here this morning if you hadn't had a crisis in your life? Trust him. He knows what he's doing. And that night on the bench when they lost that game, and I looked across there, and in the third quarter, I saw Tish crying on the bench. I thought, Lord, I didn't say, Lord, what are you doing? No, because God has taught me these principles. Not that I couldn't fall into doubt. I'm not implying that, but I wasn't thinking that, but I was saying, Lord, I wanted to connect with this team, and I thought it was through winning. You know, I could go up afterwards when they're holding the trophy and say, we prayed for you. A little credit for us, maybe. We prayed for you. God had to break them down and make them sob and make them miss their daddy that wasn't there, and then put us at the end of the hall. That girl, I'm not exaggerating when I said, if you ever need a father to talk to, she raised her head, looked me straight in the eye, and said, what's your phone number? We got through the layers. I went back to the room, and I said, Lord, it took 30 games, but we got through the layers finally. Now, I'm not done. If I can get through this. That night, I had a dream. That night I had a dream from the Lord. You need to let me go away once in a while. That night I had a dream from the Lord. And I knew when I awoke that it was a dream from the Lord. And it has to do with us here. And so the first part of it was that God gave it to me, but now I need to give it to you. Went back to our room after that loss and that precious moment, and we got that picture with Tish. And I dreamed that there was a church service going on. It wasn't here. I don't know where it was. I didn't recognize the place in the dream. But there was a church service going on. And I was not part of it. And none of you were. And I didn't recognize anybody that was there. So that's important because I'm going to come back to that. Because I asked God what that meant and he told me. And it was a dream about the American church. And it was a prophetic dream. I was in a side room, and the place that I was positioned, I could see the service and all that was going on, but they didn't know I was there. That was obvious. And it was a good service. There was music that was beautiful, and it was well organized, and they had their technology all going on, and it was a nice service. And I was observing this service in my dream. In the door came a person, and I was going to have Pam dress up like this, but I didn't, or somebody. I thought about Katie Wood, but I just didn't get him, talk to him in time. So try to visualize it. This person had layer after layer after layer of clothes on. Two or three shirts, long johns, you could see the collar. A hoodie pulled up and tied so tight. Have you ever seen people in the city that their hoodie's tied so tight you can only see this much of their face, you know, and their eyebrows are pulled down? This hoodie was tied real tight. And then there was one of those parkas with the fur around it. Lots of layers of clothes. But you could not see the person's face because the hoodie was pulled so tight you could just see nose and a little bit of eyes. And everyone stopped. And the pastor said, this person's going to sing. This person had just come in the door. And the person walked up with the hoodie pulled so tight and all the layers of clothes. But when they begin to sing, all they did is wail from their soul. You could understand no words. There was no recognizable song. They were wailing from their soul. And I don't want to blow the speakers out, but it was wailing from their soul. And I woke. And I knew the minute I woke, I sat up in bed. It was about 3 a.m. And I said, Lord, that was you telling me something. And the Lord said, yes. While we're having our services, and while we're enjoying our well-prepared music, and while we're so good at what we do and have all the latest technology in everything we do, we're surrounded by people with layer after layer after layer after layer after layer, and they're crying so hard for somebody to hear them, and we're missing it. And of course, that related to the ball team. And all I had felt in getting to know Tish. The reason this could sound arrogant to a visitor, but it was part of the dream, and I'm not going to apologize for things God gave me. I said, Lord, why was I observing the service? He said, because you're not part of that, but you need to see it all around you. Your church is not part of that, so I'm going to compliment you. You do hear the wail. That's what CMO is. You do hear the wail. That's why you're observing it. But I want you to receive this as a prophetic thing, that this is the direction the church is going. And then I remembered in Chicago, when I went to Chicago naive, thinking there would be no churches. Inner city Chicago, there are churches everywhere. But they're driving to Bible study, and they're driving past 13-year-old prostitutes on the street and going to Bible study and talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No disrespect. And when I said to them, do you notice these girls after 7 o'clock on the street? Oh, that's such a mess. We just don't mess with that. We don't mess with that. Hello, what's the church? And did I have a surprise in my life? I went to my district denomination, for which I have great respect. They're a very foundationally solid, theologically solid group. But I said to them, I said, we can't plant a church up here. They got too many already. They said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to work on the street. I want to work on the street. And that's not for everybody. You need people back on the home front praying for you. And we had people here doing that. While we're singing our songs in the American church across the country, and mega churches are packed this morning, there's people with layer after layer after layer that it takes 30 games to get them to look at you and say, could I have your phone number? And when it comes time for them to sing their song, all they can do is wail because they're hurting so bad they can't even make words. Does that make sense? We were not part of that. I want to compliment you, which brings me to this. My greatest fear is that we will become a church. I started a message. This has been my calling for a long time. I started a message 20 years ago at Chapel Hill, where Zion Chapel is now. I started a message, and I remember getting up in front of 400 people that morning, and I said, my greatest fear is that we'll become a church, and I see it happening. I said that to that congregation at that time. Please don't take offense at this, but we were in a season at that time where a lot of people were coming in with different churches, and there's a couple churches that had closed in Peru and different people, and I think sometimes people are supposed to come, so don't misunderstand that. But I noticed that the climate of the church began to change, and God began warning me, don't become a church. Per se. Now, do I believe in ecclesia? Do I believe in the Church of Jesus Christ in the New Testament? Absolutely. So don't misunderstand that. I'm talking about the dream, the church where we become a clique, we become an organization, we just come together and we're missing the wail on the street corner a block away. And I remember I got up that morning and boy, did it get quiet in there. I said, my greatest fear is that we will become a church. I still had some of that here when we opened up. What did I call this place? Not a church. Why did I change it? Because it was misunderstood. People thought we were anti-church. And I said to our board, I like that name, but it's being misunderstood. So we scrapped it because our organizational name was Chapel Ministries Outreach. So we just dropped the advertising name, not a church. But I was coming from the same thing. I was coming from that same theological viewpoint. My greatest fear is that we will become a church. We can't let it happen. We got to stay sensitive to the wail. We got to recognize, before the girl gave me the ball, we got to recognize that there's a reason why this girl has yet to make eye contact with me, and we're on game 15. And her coach is my son, for heaven's sakes. And she's yet to make eye contact with me. I got to be wise enough to see through all that and not get caught up in my pride and say, well, maybe she doesn't like me. Well, maybe nobody's ever liked her that didn't have a good motive. You with me? Maybe she's never met an older man she can trust. Do you blame young girls for not being friendly to older men? Not with what I'm seeing in society. I don't blame them a bit. I love to break through that. It makes me cry every time. Girls had come into the rescue resort, which we're getting ready to open. And I could see it right off. Pam would say, what do you think about the new girl we got in? I said, oop, she's had men troubles. I can tell the minute I said hi to her, she had me just like this. And I say, Lord, break it down. Break it down. Sure, there's men you can trust. And Guy Woodhouse shows up there and does some work. And then others stop in and work. And we're all appropriate. But before long, we see them warming up. And before long, they come up and say, could I give you a hug before you go? And you're like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. We're starting to trust again. There's a lot of layers on that singer in that dream. There was more layers than I could tell you. And I still don't have everything in that dream. There was a reason that hoodie was pulled so tight that you couldn't recognize the face, because we can have so many layers that it's distorted who we really are, and we're misunderstood, and we have misunderstandings at work all the time because our life's been such a bruised, beat-up mess that our face is pulled and drawn, and it's not who we really are. Actually, if you pull that hoodie back and that hood down and that scarf away, that's a very beautiful girl under there, but you don't see that. God's calling us to have eyes that pull that out and make them trust. It's a tall order. but don't let us become a church, so to speak. God has called us to hear and respond to the wail. I'm almost done. It took tears and heartache and pain to break up, soften, and open the ground for Tish to have that one little seed. Don't, this is closing time, don't miss, don't underestimate, is what I want to say. Don't underestimate the power. I love to straighten stuff. Don't underestimate the power of the seed. The only thing that seed had that was planted that day at the end of that game during all that crying, the only thing there was to that seed is if you would need a second father sometime, you could call me. No scripture. We didn't hand her a copy of the Bible and hand her God's simple plan of salvation. I'm not making fun. We didn't give her a stack of tracts to take home. Don't underestimate the power of anointed kindness. That's what I named the first message on Tish, anointed kindness. Don't underestimate the power of an anointed smile, an anointed hug, when you're trying to get through those layers, because God can use it tremendously. Well, I need to close. I'm worn out. You're worn out listening to me. My sister said she could never enjoy hearing me preach over the years because she said the whole sermon she was sitting there saying, would you breathe? Would you please breathe? Somebody said one time, you're going to die during preaching sometime, and I tell you what, if I was, maybe that would be the way to go. Maybe that would be the way to go. So pray for Tish, and don't tell anybody you know what she looks like. Let's stand together for prayer. Simple thoughts, but a powerful story, but profound truth. Profound truth. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of meeting, and thank you for giving me the ability after a full week to share. Thank you for each one here. I ask you to use these simple words and somehow, Lord, help us to get it. I think most of the American church doesn't get it. Help us to get it. That there's a world right outside the door that's got layer after layer after layer. They've had no guidance growing up. Their lives are dysfunctional. Forbid that we would constantly criticize them and bag on the younger generation. What do you expect? People aren't shown anything. They don't know anything. They haven't been taught to behave. They haven't been taught to behave, and then when they act awful, we say, look how they're acting. They haven't been taught anything. Am I as rebellious as I was as a child? I can't imagine if I hadn't been taught anything, the rebel I would be. Lord, give us hearts that see past all the layers. In Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you, and the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And we would ask in Jesus' name for a hedge of protection around the Reeses as they leave this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.